Word of God. Now, as we begin to look at Ephesians, and if you ever had time to read, Ephesians chapter 1, even the whole book of Ephesians, you will find that Jesus is doing something, that God has done something for us, that he set a plan in place long before we even were thought about, long before anything was even in place. God did this. And it said he did it because he loved us, not because we loved him. And if you look at 1 John 4:7-12, and that's something you can look at a little later, it tells us the whole reason behind what happened, that God so loved us that he gave us his only son. And he did it because he so loved us, not that we loved him, but because he so loved us. And so when I began to look at this Ephesian, my soul began to get happy, because I began to look at this from a different standpoint and a different point of view. I started to look at it from the point of view of being redeemed, from redemption, that he redeemed us. He loved us so much till he redeemed us. Now, redeemed means that we were purchased, we were bought, we were paid for by someone. Yes. And we realize that when we begin to study the Word of God, we begin to realize that person that we were bought by was Jesus Christ. And the way that we were bought by Jesus Christ was through his blood. When Jesus went to that cross and he died on that cross, you know, we take that so lightly, that people stand and they preach and they talk about the cross. But we really don't understand what Jesus did on that cross. But when you leave out of here today, you're going to know what Jesus really did for you on that cross. Amen. What Jesus really did for you on that cross is that he saved you. Not only did he save you, but he gave you life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because we were all dead and dead in sin. We were so dead in sin until there was no hope for us. There was no way for us. And God was so far away from us because we were so full of sin, he didn't want anything to do with us. But because he loved us, he continued his plan. So can you imagine how man is? Man will put a plan in place, and if it doesn't come out the way he thinks, then he just cuts it off. I'm so thankful I don't serve a God like that. I'm so thankful that the God that I serve keeps his word. I'm so thankful that the God that I serve is faithful over what he does. So as we go through this process, we see that God did something. He sent his son. He sent his son to a sin-filled world. We were doing all kind of things as you go down here in Ephesians and you read it. We were whole-mongering. Yeah. We were doing all kind of things of the world. Whatever the world said was okay, we were doing it. God was not pleased with that because he had set some standards. Do we know what standards are? Yeah. Standards are things that God has put in place for us to live by. But we had no idea. We didn't want to deal with any of that. We just wanted to lean to our own understanding and do what it was we wanted to do. And then we had the nerve to think that there were no consequences. See, there are consequences for whatever it is that we do. When we don't line our lives up with what God says, there are consequences. But let's look back at this redemption. Jesus paid the price. He paid the price on the cross. Yes, he died for us. Yes. He shed his blood. Yes. And when he shed his blood for us, it gave us an opportunity for new life. Yes. And so as we begin to have this new life, now we become holy before God. Why? Because we have accepted Jesus Christ. Yes. We have accepted the word of God. Yes, we accepted the kingdom, the word that Jesus was preaching, that the kingdom is coming, that the kingdom is at hand. Yeah. We accepted that. And then we begin to have the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So now as we begin to have that faith, that believe in Jesus Christ, he said, now we can be holy. See, before that, we couldn't be holy. Before Jesus, there was no holiness in us, no kind of way. Yeah. But after Jesus did what he did for us, then we became holy. Now we're able to stand what? Before God for ourselves. See, the thing that we have to understand, before we accepted Christ, we were separated from who? We were separated from God. We were separated. And there was no hope. Can you imagine living a life with no hope? Well, that's what it's like when you're living a life without Jesus Christ. When you're living a life without Jesus Christ as the head of your life, you're living a life with no hope. You're existing. That's all you're doing. But let us go down here a little bit further. He said, be holy in verse 4. Be holy without blame before him in love. See, we couldn't even begin to have that love without Jesus Christ. We didn't know what that was all about. See, the love that God demonstrated here in when I go back to 1 John 4 and 7 through 12, he talks about that love that he had for us. Didn't expect anything. See, when we love somebody, we expect something. We expect them to do something. We expect them to show us something. But here God loved us without expecting anything. He loved us even in our filthy state. He loved us so much. And that's why he was willing to do what he did for us on that cross. And then it says that he, without blame, before him in love. And then it says, verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasures of his will. Now, the good pleasures of his will. So sometimes we think that we're saved for ourselves. So we can go and do what we want to do, how we want to do it. But this verse passage here tells me that we were, this process was done for God's good will, for God's good pleasure. We were created for his good pleasure, for him to do what he will with us. We don't belong to ourselves because, see, we have been purchased with a price. We were purchased with the blood of Christ. And once we were purchased, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to God now. And as we know that we belong to him, we have to start acting like it. We have to start acting like we belong to God. And then we go here to verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood. We talked about that. It says the forgiveness of sin. Look at that. Not only do we have redemption, that we were bought with a price, we also, this happened by God's grace, not because I lived good enough or not because I was good enough, but because of the love of God and God's grace, he did this for me. He did it for you. And then he says, now I have what? Forgiveness of sin. Jesus did that. Now I can go to the Father and I can ask him to forgive me for my sins. And guess what God said? I will forgive your sins and remember them no more. Jesus did that for us. Before, we were out there, what, sacrificing animals. And then God told us that he didn't want that anymore because he knew we were just doing a ritual. Our hearts wasn't in it. We didn't mean it. We were just doing it because we were told we had to do it. That's how we are today with Jesus. We go through the motions of coming to church. We sit through the service. But we don't bring no Jesus in here with us. We don't bring no Holy Spirit in here with us. We just sit here so that we can say we went to church. But in the Word of God, it says, at some point, we have forgotten something. We forgot our first love. Our first love was Jesus. Do you remember? And I want you to think back. Do you remember when you first was introduced to Jesus? Do you remember when somebody told you that Jesus died for you? Do you remember when your spirit got happy and you accepted him as Lord and Savior over your life? You began to rejoice. And guess what you did? You told everybody. I don't care who you met. Jesus loves you. Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? You did that. You told everybody. But now we've gotten to the point that we're quiet. We don't went sit down. We don't tell anybody anything about Jesus. So he said that you forgot me. We can't forget about Jesus. Why? Because we belong to him. person. We have to learn when Jesus died for us, he sealed us with a seal. See, that's when that Holy Spirit come in. When you look here at verse 13 here, he said, in him you also trusted. See, after I trust him, okay? After you heard the word of truth, heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. What does that mean? I'm sealed.
Yeah.
That means I belong to him, and he's put his mark on me.
Yeah. Amen.
That means the world should be able to see that mark of Christ in you.
Amen.
When you go to and fro doing what you're doing with your brothers and your sisters, your family members, somebody needs to know that you're standing for Jesus. And you don't have to toot your horn. It's by how you carry yourself. When Jesus is with you and in you and you allow him to direct your life, you are going to act different. You are going to be different. Why? Let's talk about why. You're going to act different because as you go through here, it talks about in verse 17. It talks about the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. So that tells us that once we were sealed, God gave us something. He didn't leave us out here stupid. He gave us his knowledge of him, who he is. He gave us wisdom to identify who he is. He did all this. So now we are able to operate in that. But guess what else he did? He did something else. He gave us some spiritual blessings. He gave us some spiritual blessings so that we can operate in these things. And these things that we will operate in is love, faith, peace, happiness, joy. When we begin to operate in these things, then we begin to identify ourselves as who? Our children of God. Because we are expected to act a certain way. We should be ecstatic. We should be happy to know that Jesus died on that cross. When he died on that cross, he prepared you for everything. But let's go a little bit further. What he prepared you for was a good life on this side. See, we sit up and we talk about it all the time. When I die, I'm going to have a good life on the other side. You're missing the mark. God says, I have some good gifts for you on this side. But guess what? The only way you can get those good gifts is you must be connected to the vine. You've got to be connected to Jesus Christ. Because all these spiritual gifts that he's coming talking about don't come from the world. It comes from God.
Amen.
You can't give yourself no peace. You can't give yourself no joy. All these things come from God. You can't build your faith, but God can. He can increase your faith day by day. So as you walk in this life, that you're able to walk in this life with the goodness of what God has set aside for you. See, we are so busy allowing the world to steal what God has set aside for us. And then we want to wonder why things are so bad for us. It's so bad for us because we have not acknowledged what Jesus truly did for us on that cross. He gave us a right to come to him because we belong to him. He gave us a right to ask him for what we will. He gave us a right to be able to stand on his promises. He gave us a right. And until we learn that our rights are tied up in Jesus, we're going to walk through this world missing out on a lot of stuff. I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by faith. I'm walking by what God has promised me. I'm walking by what God has said. I'm walking by what I've seen God do in my life. I'm walking by faith. Because I know when he says that he has exceedingly, abundantly, more than I could ever expect, that he meant just that. So now if you walk through this life and you have not, because you ask not. If you walk through this life and things seem to be upside down all the time, is because you're following the wrong God. But when you begin to follow the God, the one who died on that cross, the one who got up on that third day with all power in his hand, when you begin to follow that God, then things in your life will turn around. Yes, you may get up with some aches and pains. Yes, you may get up not feeling very well. But one thing I know, when you know how to go to the throne of grace, when you know how to go to God and ask him what you will in his name, he said it shall be done. We have to have that kind of faith, church. We have to walk by that kind of faith, not by what I can see, not by what I can feel, not by what the doctors are telling me, but by the faith that I know that the God that I serve can do anything but fail. Walk in the richness that God has for you while you're on this side. Stop waiting to die to go to heaven to get your reward. God has some rewards right now. But we got to line up with what he say. That means I can't backbite against nobody. That means I can get upset. Yes, we can. But we cannot hold grudges. We can't try to tear somebody down to make ourselves look good. We can't do that. We also need to understand that we must keep Jesus first in our life. Jesus is our first love, and you forgot about him. So, you know what? The good thing is that God is so good that he even give you an opportunity to get it right.
You can double back.
You can get it right. So if you've been doing it wrong all this time, if you thought it was you who put food on your table, if you thought it was you who put the roof over your head, if you thought it was you who bought that new car, if you thought it was you who got that job, rethink it and understand that you can do nothing of yourself. You can't make your limbs work. You can't get yourself out of bed. You can't do any of that. But God can do all those things for you. And he did it through his son, Jesus Christ. So keep Jesus in his rightful place. And his rightful place is the head of your life. When you put him at the head of your life, you're going to start asking him, Jesus, what should I do? Should I go this way? Should I go that way? When he's at the head of your life, you're going to ask him, should I pay this bill or should I pay that bill? You're going to ask him everything. And in everything you do, he will give you an answer. He will give you an answer. And when he answers you, it's the right answer. But when you sit there and lean to your own understanding, it is not going to be the right answer. And then it's going to bring more consequences. Stop going out there trying to buy stuff and don't ask God about it. Stop doing that. Don't do that. Ask God, should I go buy this? Ask God. Don't just go open up a bank account at any old bank. Ask God, God, should I go to that bank or where should I go? He will tell you. When you begin to operate like that, you've already won.
Amen.
You've already won.
Amen.
Because now stuff will start coming into your life and you start looking and saying, what is this? What did I do to deserve this? Nothing. But because of your faithfulness, because that you know who God is, because you kept him in his rightful place, there are some rewards.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."